could be the last show for a little while as the uncertainty of COVID just threatens to plunge us back down into lockdown. Richo, Brownie, how are we?
Yeah, not bad, but it's uncertain times, Nato, isn't it?
I think we'll get through, Matt. I think we'll be okay.
We'll be right.
Everyone's doom and gloom. A bit of positivity, huh?
Hey,
your best intro.
Well, speaking of positivity, a story that I'm sure is going to warm your heart, given that you a club that you abandoned in their time of need. You walked off at a time when they were struggling a little bit,
sure,
but
did.
You left for more cash. They've finally found a sponsor, and it's a brand close to your heart.
It is Crypto. Me and Armeed Baines at the Bulldogs, a very good Bendigo boy, the CEO there. We put together this for CoinSpot, and have a look at the CEO there with his big beard. He's going all right there, and the astronaut. So that is massive for not only the Bulldogs, but also the crypto community. It is mainstream
and
now, Matthew.
I think we've also, Miss Melbourne have got a crypto.
CoinJar.
Yeah, CoinJar.
So what is CoinSpot?
It's basically like you use Binance here. It's basically an exchange. Like that, but it is an Australian exchange.
Well,
so
both of them are going to the moon, aren't they? Because the Dogs are premiership favourites.
Really? That was terrible.
I know. Yeah. But what do you think? Doggies favourites for the premiership?
You got a new hat, have you? What's his
hat? That is a nice hat.
New sponsor.
General Chicken Co.
New sponsor.
What sort of is this?
Are you kidding?
You've done 1-800 lasagna and now you've got a General Chicken Co.
Good chicken.
Are you kidding?
Have you checked out this chicken place?
No,
do you know who they are?
It's not a sponsor. It's just a hat that a guy gave me.
Decided to wear it?
I just thought I'd wear it. I get out of bed this morning and just throw it on.
When does this become cash for comment? Because every week you're coming in with a new sponsor and are you in any danger of sharing the love?
This is not a sponsor, this one.
Have you made sure that this chicken place looks after their chickens properly?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Responsible.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah. Responsible farming.
Responsible farming.
You best check that.
Yeah,
Brownie, you're the Brownlow whisperer after the incredibly successful on the Brownlow last year. Bontempelli, he is flying at the moment. Where does he stand in the echelons of the best Bulldogs player of all time?
Well, you've got to start to discuss
you're serious about this,
whether Marcus Bontempelli is the best Bulldog of all time. Now, you go back through, this club's only won two premierships. And back then, obviously we don't have a lot of vision of Ted Whitten, Charlie Sutton, but there were some great players that played for the Bulldogs back then. And since then, it's been not a lot of success. Then you've got to look to Doug Hawkins, who never won a premiership.
Yeah.
Then you look to Chris Grant, who never won a premiership, but was, I think, probably the most talented player I played with. Brad Johnson through that era. But all of a sudden, I can't remember Brad Johnson having the effect on games that Marcus Bontempelli has. But Brad Johnson, pound for pound, one of the greatest players the Bulldogs have ever had. But you've got to start to say, is Marcus Bontempelli the best Bulldog of all time? What he's doing in games right now, the way he's affecting games and the outcome of games, no player's ever played the game the way he is at the moment. And I think he's flying. And the discussion has to be had. Is he the best player in the comp right now? I still think Dustin Martin is. But is he the best Bulldog of all time?
Yeah, it's a good call, because I was watching that game Saturday night. We did the game on Channel 7 and I started to think he's the best player in the comp. Now, I know Dusty, you know, is the clubhouse leader there.
Runs on the board.
Yeah, and you've probably got to do it in finals before you can take over Dusty. So if Bontempelli goes into this final series and rips it apart, I reckon he's in the conversation. As far as best Bulldog of all time, hard for me to say because I didn't watch those other guys as closely as I'm watching Bontempelli.
In the mid-50s when they won premierships, it's hard to compare.
It's hard to compare. But
of the last 30 years?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd have to say Bont's the best.
I've just watched him this year. I've done a lot of Bulldogs games. And he, in a few games where they've been struggling a little bit, it's been him that pulls them out of the mire, particularly that Carlton game. So I think he's nearly the best player in the comp and definitely in the conversation as the best Bulldog.
And this year he's kicking goals, and kicking goals are big times.
You know what else he is? He is the most impressive. When you meet him and talk to him, you couldn't be more impressed with him when you walk away.
Yep.
He's Mr. Perfect, to be honest. Yeah.
And what number did he have on his back when he was growing up, Matt? Number 12.
Yes.
Is that Richmond?
Mad Richmond.
Massive Richmond supporter.
Really? Yeah.
Love Batman and Robin, but he loved this man a little bit more. So he had number 12.
Mate, there's a photo of him at a clinic at Punt Road when he was about 8 or 9 years of age that he showed me recently, and I was pretty happy with that.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Hey, one of the big talking points was a few in AFL land this week, but one of the biggest ones was the controversial loss to the D's. They went down by a point.
The Crows. The D's.
The Crows lost to the D's.
I reckon it's a loss that they sort of needed to have. Nathan, do you buy into that? I do. You cannot go through a season undefeated. Remember St Kilda when they went 19-0, they then lost again. They didn't even win the premiership. You played against Essendon in 2000, yep. The only team to beat them, and it was probably a loss the Bombers needed to have at the time.
I reckon it was, and they were 20-0, and we beat them, and then
Chris Grant kicked the snap with the left foot,
and then after that, they just obliterated everyone in the finals. But Melbourne's form leading into that, they were getting the job done, so they didn't play that well against North Melbourne. They were okay against the Blues, so they were getting the job done, and the Crows, their pressure was outstanding.
Don't underestimate the Crows. They've been going a little bit
really good, yeah. But the two decisions, obviously, it was deliberate out of bounds and they got that wrong. But they still had to kick that goal if it goes out of bounds. So it was a tough shot. But then there's also the Ben Keys holding the ball decision. So I'm confused, as is everybody, what is and what is not holding the ball this year. When you see that Ben Keys one, you see the Geelong St Kilda game the week before on the Friday night, and then you go on a Saturday and it seemed like anybody who got touched was all of a sudden holding the ball. So
Just don't jump your gun, because something's doing my head in, Nate.
Is that it, is it?
It's the little segue, though.
Your new chicken hat.
Yeah. You like it? I'll get you some chicken.
Hey, now, Richmond, I know that there's always the argument.
Is chicken your favourite food?
Fried chicken.
Mm. Yeah. I was having this discussion with the Dale the other day, actually. I think a good fried chicken, I've learned how to fry it. I actually bought a deep fryer. Good fried chicken is about as good as it gets.
Well, where does KFC sit in the whole scheme of things?
I reckon next week, go and do some homework and do your best fried chicken next week, all right? Think about
There's
it.
There's a place out in Croydon.
He's already thinking about it. He had to pause. He had to stop what he was talking about.
I can't do two things at once, and now I'm thinking chicken.
You clearly can't.
I might go get some chicken before we get plunged into lockdown today. Hey, Richmond. Now, there's always this discussion that this is how they start years and this is how they go through. They just plod along, and then come finals time, they hit their straps. Like Clark, I used to always say Hawthorn were doing.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that Richmond cannot... No, I'm not saying cannot. They can.
You text us that during the week.
So I say will not.
You'll like this
because you like to do your homework. I'll tell you what now, Hum. You haven't done your homework here. Is that a shock? I will say that Richmond aren't playing their best footy. We know they've got a heap of injuries. A lot of club have injuries, but they've got five of their best six midfielders out. Mind you, four of them are coming back this week. But did you look at who they've already played? The Lions, top four. The Cats, top four. Port, fifth. The Swans, sixth. They played the Dogs. They beat the Dogs. Melbourne. So they've played all of the good teams. Their draw opens up and their best players are coming back. I think you've jumped the gun.
This is where your brain doesn't...
You've got to do your homework.
...on the level of other people.
They won't finish in the top four. They'll finish sixth or eighth.
Who they've played, that is startling.
So you're still sticking by what you said?
I'll change it.
Mr. and Mrs. Hummerston, they wasted their money sending him to a private school.
You just don't do your research, Hum.
Well, I wear my heart on my sleeve.
You should have gone to Camberwell Tech.
But do you know why I said that? I sent that message in. A lot of the times I send these messages.
Because you hate Richmond and you just want them to fail.
I backed them. Ooh. And when I lose a bet, I get angry and I sort of shoot from the hip.
You backed them against Brisbane.
Yep.
I wouldn't write them off.
It's a strange bet, isn't it?
Mm. It was looking all right early on. You should have watched our previews. Neither of us backed Richmond on the weekend.
Yeah.
Brownie,
yes.
You sent through. Now, you don't send through things to the WhatsApp often.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you sent something about aeroplanes.
Yes. I was doing some research during the week for something else I was doing, and it came to my attention that in America, they are going to start weighing passengers before they get on the aeroplanes.
Well, this is a good topic, actually.
Thank you. Would you like to take it over? Would you like me to finish what I was talking about?
You're so nasty.
Yeah, you have been really nasty.
This is my topic. You just want
to
jump in.
I'm trying to have a group sort of conversation. You like to just go off on your little tangents and just...
So,
Matthew, no one else can come in on your combo.
In your chicken hat.
The FAA, the laws have been outdated.
Over the last 30 years, Americans have got fatter. So they are a bigger organiser for too much fried chicken. But now... They're thinking it's dangerous, so they want to weigh passengers because they don't know where to distribute the weight on an aeroplane anymore, thinking it might bring somebody down.
Will they charge a plumper more?
No, I don't think so. I think they want to make sure that they're not overweight the whole plane so they can distribute the weight. So Richard Hummerston weighing in at 109 kilos might have to go in 17A, whereas Matthew Richardson...
It's a fair point.
It makes sense.
Because you book your ticket, they don't know if you're 100.
It's an invasion of privacy, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You'd hope that maybe it just gets sort of, it doesn't get displayed and it just gets sent to a computer. Because I mean, imagine
going on the airplane, right? You do your ticket and it comes up, Hummerston, 109 kilos.
Hey, but on the back of that, you know that I'm a plane guy.
Yeah.
Trains, plane buff.
Trains and planes, I absolutely love them.
You go to, for our listeners who haven't heard this before, you actually used to go out to the airport and
I go,
park.
I do go to the airport. I haven't gone lately.
You got the whole marketing department once to go up to level 15, right, where the billiard tables and all that sort of stuff, because there was a hornet coming over that day from Avalon.
He wanted you to see it.
It went past in 0.5 a second. Nobody saw it. Everyone was like, business is that it? Is it coming back?
I just got a little word in my ear that you may have taken a first date out to the airport to watch planes land.
My current doll.
Oh, really?
We
just off the side there. Well, out towards Sunbury.
Yeah, if you sit there, there's a parking area, and you can get some hot jam donuts and whatnot.
So it was impressive.
Yeah, look, I've spent a great part of my life watching planes, and I go to Footscray Station and watch trains. So I want to give you my top. I want to give you my top five planes.
Footscray Station.
Well, because there you get freight trains, you get the V lines, you get
everything.
Two different or three different types of metro trains. You get, it's a smorgasbord of trains.
You would have been a big Thomas the Tank Engine fan when you were little.
I don't think I was, which is strange. I sort of developed this train and plane obsession later in life.
Well, what have you got, your top five?
I got my top five planes. It's great. I'm going to kick things off with number five, the old Saab 340. Now, I'm a regional boy, grew up in regional Victoria, spent a great part of my childhood flying on Rex planes.
So Rex, these are the
little
ones.
Rexy. They're the little Rexies.
Tassie,
they've got the little,
the
they've got the little
so
props.
What's good about them?
Well, I just love that, firstly, the destinations they fly to. They take you to the little dirt track, little airports, and then when they shoot you up in the air, you just go straight up like a rocket. And coming down, you're straight down.
I reckon if the engines fail on those things, they can glide in pretty safely.
Well, so much so that once at Mount Gambier, a prop fell off.
They
a Rex
glide
plane.
In,
mate. Hello. My top.
Old Howard Hughes, the plane expert over here, isn't it? Hey? They just glide in, do they?
I've been to Tassie probably 100 times on the sub. So
who was that pilot that landed on the Hudson River?
Sully.
Yes.
John Sully.
Good movie.
Number four. Number four, the Antonov 225. Now, I've seen this twice. Once I saw it in Russia when I was there. The other time was 6 weeks ago down at Melbourne Airport.
It came
and landed.
What
so
is it?
A heap of us.
It's a Russian plane.
Six engines, 48 wheels. This thing is
They drop out of the sky pretty
beast.
Regularly though, don't they?
So what are they used for?
Cargo.
Right.
So this one actually was bringing. Now, I shouldn't be saying this because I found this on a secret forum. Actually, it was bringing some defence cargo. So what was in it, we don't know. But, yeah, they're very secretive about what the Antonov...
Secret forum.
Don't worry.
He's
on the
third,
dark web, this
he
man.
He goes down the rabbit
My
hole.
My third favourite plane is the 777, which is very quickly could overtake number two. The 777 is
how big
now...
Is
it's the 777's the big tube plane you see. It's only got two engines, but it's just this big tube. It's
how many
passengers? It's the longest two-engine plane in the world.
So this is the domestic international operator?
Well, this is sort of what the Malaysia Airlines one that went missing. That was a 777.
Oh, no.
I love the 777. And then we get into the big dogs. The A380, which I've got to put in there because it is a flying bus, four engines.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the bar and everything?
On Emirates, yes, it's got a bar there. It's the big double. It looks like a big whale flying in the sky.
It's a complete double decker.
Unfortunately, the time for the A380 is limited because of COVID. They've sort of, the four-engine plane doesn't make much sense anymore.
So the Dreamliner is the one now, isn't it?
So the Dreamliner is going to be the plane we see everywhere. I couldn't squeeze the Dreamliner in because the number one, of course...
737.
No, the 747, the Queen.
The Jumbo.
The 747, the Jumbo. If you remember my Instagram post when Qantas flew
at their
last.
Is anyone still
they are gone. They're still used for cargo. The last one rolled off the processing line about 6 months ago, so they're no longer made. But the 747 is my favourite plane, and I'll never get a chance to fly it again.
So how is it different from the Dreamliner?
No, it's the one with the bubble on the top. You know, the 747 with the bubble.
The Queen, the 747 is the best-looking plane that has ever been made. Yeah. It's elegant.
The
it's
Jumbo.
Sleek,
it was just, the original Jumbo.
What's the Air Force One?
It's the plane that connected Australia with the rest of the world. Without the 747, we'd just be a shit little island.
Would you love to go on the Air Force One?
Why wouldn't you? Who's going to say no to that? So that's my top five planes.
Hummer.
Hey, Richard, I saw something on Instagram this week that you'd put up. I saw a couple of things, but the first thing we're going to have a look at is something your mum dug up.
Yeah, mum's moving from East Donnie. She's moving into a smaller little unit. And I was out there helping her. She's got a lot of stuff under the house out there. And we found this. We found the old cardboard cutout.
If you are just listening and you're not watching, it is one of the old, the very popular in the 90s, the life-size cutouts that used to be able to win in like bread competitions.
So they came out.
Tip top.
Yeah, tip top.
They came out in 1995, Hummus. So that is... What's that? 26 years ago.
But look, Challenge Bank on the footy. That was the first after the McDonald's in the 93 final series. 94, they changed to Challenge Bank. Yeah. So normal season, 94 was the first time they ever had a sponsor on the footy.
A lot of people commented on that.
On your legs?
Post that
what about your legs?
They said that I haven't been going to leg day in the gym.
And, they're tiny.
There's a story behind that. So you see the Challenge Bank footy, I had my foot up on it. Mm. They're taking the photos, and my left leg there was completely wasted because I'd had a knee reco about, I reckon, 8-9 weeks before that.
Are they lotto boots?
They're lotto boots. So the guy said, look, mate, your leg doesn't look great, so we're going to have to try and disguise this. And the Photoshop probably wasn't as good back then. So he said, we'll just put the footy under your leg. So that's why.
Lotto. You know, someone on Twitter credited you for the downfall of Lotto. you had a contract where they paid significant overs for, and they went under the next year.
So I reckon.
I reckon I know how so this is, the contract was.
So I reckon this is when
how big was the Lotto
boot manufacturers came in Australia in the mid-90s. Like in America, you got all these big deals. They came in a bit hot and they offered guys too much money to wear boots. And then they realised that the market here wasn't big enough. And Lotto went under.
How big? Because this is 20 years ago now. You can say. Why not?
Because I'm not, but it was ridiculous.
Was it more than your AFL salary at the time?
It would have been nearly equal, yeah.
What year was this?
96.
Do you have any guilt that Lotto no longer exists?
They're still in Italy.
I think it's no longer here. Think of all the little Italian school kids running around.
I think it might have had an
8
in it.
Mate, I didn't.
800,000.
No.
No, don't be silly.
We just did his contract last week and we heard that in 1996 he earned 22,500.
I'll tell you who got the biggest deal with a boot.
So Lotto paid you 80 grand and the next year they went under.
It was not 80 grand.
There's our soundbite. Richo crippled Lotto.
That's bullshit.
How much did Chicken Place shirts go now?
Hey, Brownie, crypto. Yeah. Take us through crypto because it has been a wild, wild ride. It went here. This is what I'm going to say. How can one man, of course, Elon Musk, he can just control the entire crypto? That's it from tweets. If he wants it to go up, he tweets something. If he wants it to go down, he tweets something.
It's like a
problem. Insider trading.
It is a shame that it is happening. It's been a tough week. I was up until about 2:30 a.m. the other morning, just watching it just go like it was just down. Wait, so then I'm thinking I'm picking the bottom, right? So I've sold about 20% down, and then I'm sitting, okay, where's the bottom? I'm trying to pick it. I thought I'd picked it. It came back up a little bit, and then it dropped again. So it was a tough week. But the thing happened, Elon Musk, who has bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin, then decided that he wasn't going to allow Tesla to accept Bitcoin as payment to buy Teslas, which then sort of shook the market. But nothing about the fact that he's still got his $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. So he hasn't sold that. So he's still got that.
Yeah.
But he's concerned about the emissions. And there are quite a few emissions that Bitcoin mining, when you do mine it. But on top of that...
You don't fully understand that.
No, 100%. China talked about outlawing crypto. And then on top of that, the IRS in America. This all happened the same week. Every deposit or transaction over $10,000, you had to report to the IRS. All of a sudden, everything dropped. And then Elon started tweeting with a guy called Michael Saylor, who owns Grayscale Investments, and they decided to put a board together or a group to tackle emissions out of Bitcoin mining. Went back up 30% again. But you've got to have diamond hands, huh? You can't have weak hands. You are the perfect person with diamond hands. What does diamond hands mean? Pressure.
Well, you know,
what you do?
You try to catch a falling knife. Confucius says, man who tries to catch a falling knife is a dickhead.
You don't lose any money until you sell.
No, you don't. You've got to hold,
just
man.
Hold.
So we'll be okay. And Gene Simmons was tweeting about it the other day from Kiss.
Oh, Gene Simmons is into it.
Have a look at this. Not telling you guys what to do. I am not a financial advisor. Simply letting you know that I've invested heavily during this crypto dip. It's called buy the dip. Do I think it will recover? Yes, big time. That's why I'm investing heavily. But always do your own research.
He's a very money-hungry unit, Gene Simmons. There's no doubt about that. Hey, I saw something really interesting during the week. I was at the 7-Eleven waiting to pay for my fuel. Actually, it wasn't.
You were 7-Eleven.
No, it wasn't 7-Eleven, but it was one of those. it was one of the ones where they got like a mini
7-Eleven has the worst fuel in the country. Fact.
Do they?
Yep. Never fill your car up with 7-Eleven fuel.
Right.
Well, this is interesting. Why is this? Or is it different?
Hey, hang on. Listen to this and then get into that.
That they actually, it's with the, it has something to do with the way it's transported.
Right.
But I filled my car up with 7-Eleven fuel once, broke down the next day.
Right. Sounds like a like a lawsuit. Just
let me question this. My opinion, sorry, is that 7-Eleven has the worst fuel. My opinion is that 7-Eleven has bad fuel. Maybe it was a bad day.
A different fuel company drops off the fuel to them, do they?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not all the same.
All right. I won't get my fuel there again. But anyway.
Spoken by Richard Anderson.
That might just be the end of it.
So
I've had 2.9
strike. He parks at the airport. He goes out to Footscray Station because the freight trains come through. He knows that 7-Eleven gets bad fuel.
All right, what do you got, Jim?
You're extraordinary. I'm standing in the line and I'm waiting to pay for my bad 7-Eleven fuel. And there's a guy in front of me, an Uber delivery guy. And he's waiting for the gentleman behind the counter to go and pick up whatever was ordered by Uber. This Uber guy is there to pick up one bag of popcorn. He put one bag of popcorn in the Uber bag and walked out. So someone out there somewhere has ordered one bag of popcorn on Uber Eats.
What, the munchies?
Is it the munchies? This was my theory. Oh. My theory is it's a dad completely under the pump at home and the kid just wants a bag of popcorn and he's desperate.
He's Ubered it.
And he's Ubered it.
Have you, what's the most, you're probably a bit older from it and you don't do it as much. And I don't do it as much now that I'm a mature adult. But a few years ago, I had 3 Ubers in a day. I got 4 Powerades Ubered in the morning.
You were hungover.
Then I got a halal snack pack, and then I got a curry at night. 3 Ubers.
2 would be the most.
4 Gatorades.
Yeah. Well, I was hungover as hell. Do you get Uber for the kids?
No.
No.
Hey, around the grounds for the Ace of Gemstone, Brownie. Now, rather than going to one result this week, I want to take you to a league that is, it's the most incredible. Now, as you know, I follow local footy across the country, have my entire life. This is in the North West Football Association in Tassie, near where Richo grew up.
Yep.
Now, let's just have a look. There was 4 games this week. East Ulverstone, 2-4-16.
Do you want me to do them? Because
yeah,
you're not going to pronounce
them. You can pronounce the weird Tasmanian.
It's East Ulverstone v Sheffield there, huh? Sheffield, 19-21-135. Fourth, one of the best pubs in Tasmania.
Really?
Is at fourth, yeah. 34-27-231. West Ulverstone, 1 point.
Just from those first 2 games, Matt, it might seem like West and East Ulverstone maybe need to amalgamate to get a better team.
How many people are there in Ulverstone
and that you can have an East and a West?
No, but see, Ulverstone, they're in the minor league. There's actually another team, Ulverstone, which is in the league above. There's too many teams on the northwest coast of Tassie.
Gee,
Motton, Preston there, 27-33-195. But the biggest one there, Wesley Vale, which is not far from where I live in Devonport. That's near the airport too. Wesley Vale's where the airport is in Devonport. 49-16-310 to poor old Rosebery Toorak. They haven't scored for the whole season.
Well, I've got the ladder here. How's this? Rosebery Toorak from their
points.
They've scored 13 points for a return of 2,247 at a percentage of 0.58.
So that is a hammering.
Every 100 points it's scored against them, they're scoring 0.58.
Do you reckon they're fielding a full team? I've got a feeling they may be lacking numbers.
They've got a 2s playing as well.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. Okay. I think we need to help them out.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, we adopted Armona and they won their first game 4 years later.
Real shit house, aren't they?
Richo, why don't you...
When we can travel again,
right-o.
Why don't we go down there?
Yep.
To
do a sports lunch.
Rosebery Toorak.
Rosebery Toorak.
Take him for training, something like that.
All right.
Potentially, you could pull the boots on.
Okay, when we're back up and there's none of this COVID sort of scenarios hanging around, we'll go down there one Thursday night and take training for Rosebery Toorak.
Sports bet.
Brent, something sponsor
that?
Yeah, they will. Yeah. Well, we saved Armona. We pulled them off the canvas, sponsored
then
them.
Croft jumped in.
4 years later, they won their first game. So we're going to do the same with Rosebery Toorak.
Yep.
Commiserations to Richmond. We did consider going with Richmond as well down there.
Yeah.
But
18 points. Is it 8 points or 18 they scored? That's not much, is it?
18 points of the season.
Do you reckon if me and you played, we could get them a win?
Well, you'd start in the middle and I'd play full.
I'll play. Yeah. What about me?
I'm a full back.
I think you have to play on ball.
I'm not going down there to play full back.
Surely
the ball would be down there.
Surely you could extract it out of the middle and get it down to me.
Let's go down there.
You think you can take Matty Tabiner? We need you.
I copped some flack for that during the week.
All right, so we'll go down as a package deal.
All right, package deal. The three The three stars going down there, coming down to Rosebery Toorak. Brownie, this caught my eye during the week.
What caught your eye, huh?
Are you a weatherman?
I love the weather.
Now, up again, Sydney meant to be a fair bit of weather and some poor weather at that. Rain around Perth this weekend, so I expect it to be low scoring.
A fair bit of weather.
No, what he said. There's going to be some weather around. Well, you'd hope there's some weather around. We're all gone if there's
no
weather.
I'm just letting you know that it was possibly going to rain, so I said there's a fair bit of weather around.
Well, you can't just make
bad
sense.
Bad weather at that.
He's got to let Jane Bunn do the weather. But we know that Brownie likes to do his research.
Yep,
so I was watching Access All Areas during the week. I'm just wondering whether he did his research.
As I say to you guys every week, when you are betting, it pays to do your research. Don't go betting just for no reason. Have a look, do the research. There's so much out there that you can do research with. Darcy Parrish getting a lot of the football. So if you do your research, Lordo, so do your research. You should always do your research as well, Damien, when I give them to you.
Right. So, I say that
six research.
I think Brownie did his research.
And six times I
that
said
that.
That
was in about 30 seconds, Nate.
Brownie?
Did you put a couple of, was there a bit of a bit of poetic license?
No, there was no mayo.
No mayo on that.
We can watch it again if you don't believe us.
No. It was good though, wasn't it?
And just
I say to you guys every week, when you are betting, it pays to do your research. Don't go betting just for no reason. Have a look, do the research. There's so much out there that you can do research with. Darcy Parrish getting a lot of the football. So if you do your research, Lordo, so do your research. You should always do your research as well, Damien.
I had said it six times, but it has been cut up. The whole thing went for 2 minutes.
No, but that was 30 seconds. We cut it for about 5 seconds there, Nate.
Yeah.
That is... Hey, one more just while we're piling in. I was listening to Triple M as I always do. Now, last week, show exclusively on this.
My best show last week.
You gave a great story about Darce.
Yeah, Darce over in Adelaide rang down to the concierge, had a problem. He couldn't get into his bathroom. He needed to go to the toilet. The handyman comes up. It turns out Darce was trying to get into the next room, the adjoining door. So we told that story last week. And anyway,
it's a fanfare. The punters loved it.
Can you imagine my surprise when I turned on Triple M Footy Friday night?
Kent, Brownie, did you or did you not retell that Darcy story
as it was your own
story on Triple M?
I did better than that. I retold it as my own, and I retold it better than what Matthew told me last week. I added and I embellished a fair bit as well. I added things that weren't even in your story.
Have you heard of plagiarism, Nathan?
Yeah, it was at its finest.
I might sue you.
Everybody you said, where'd you get that story from? And I said, I've got somebody who works at the Intercontinental that I know, a staff member there. But it was one of the better stories too.
It did go down very well.
Actually, Darce came into Saturday Night Footy and had a bit of a laugh about it, and he said you did tell it very well.
Hey, Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Oh, hum, I reckon this did everyone's head in. I couldn't believe what I was seeing on Monday when the match review panel came out and Nick Holman was charged for that rundown tackle on Mitch Duncan. That was a perfect rundown tackle. And Stephen Quatermain said it well. This is ridiculous.
Big Q.
Yeah, big Q. A chase down tackle when Nick Holman is suspended for 2 weeks. What's the AFL coming to? Well, thankfully, last night the AFL tribunal threw that out, because if that had been rubbed out, Nick Holman for 2 weeks, the game is in complete disarray.
Exactly.
So we've had a good result there. The other thing that's doing my head in, I can't understand why we need to do this. Now, the AFL three times this year has come out on a Monday and basically said that they got a decision wrong. The first one was Zach Bailey when he tackled Blitzarse down in Geelong in round two, I think it was. Then there was the Jeremy Cameron, not 15, mark up in Sydney. And then there was the deliberate out-of-bounds on young Nick Murray on the weekend. Now, yes, all of those decisions were that obviously wrong. Everyone knows that. You know they're wrong, Hummer. You know they're wrong. Why are they doing this? Why are they coming out and just picking and choosing one or two incidents every 3 or 4 weeks and saying they got it wrong?
I think in the past people have asked them to be more honest and admit when you make
Brownie,
a mistake.
How many decisions in a game are wrong? Let's be honest.
Yeah. But not all decisions are at the crux of the last 15 seconds.
Yeah, but doesn't a decision in the second quarter can influence the game just as much as one in the last quarter?
Yeah, it can, but doesn't have the eyeballs on it.
So you reckon they should
perception.
Do it?
I think it's a good thing that they get out there and they address it quickly and then we move on. Like, I don't understand why you think it's a problem.
I don't understand why they have to highlight that their own umpiring department got something blatantly wrong.
But you've got to understand, I clearly understand that when you have a decision in the second quarter and the same decision in the last quarter, the one in the second quarter affects the scoreboard just as much. But
did you know that was wrong, that decision on the weekend? We all knew it was wrong.
They're deliberate out of bounds.
Yeah, they didn't need to come out.
Exactly. But the thing is, I think, with umpires is, like AFL players, when the big moments happen, some players take the big moment, like Tex did last week, and some don't handle it that well. Ollie Florent had an opportunity to set up the winning score last week, and he made a mistake, just like the umpire did last week. He had an opportunity in the heat of the moment in Adelaide with a parochial crowd, and he made the wrong decision. The pressure got to the umpire, and he made a poor decision.
It's encouraging a pile on the umpires. Ooh. We don't need it.
Nuffy jar.
No. You know what he is, Sam, before we go on? Because I've got a feeling this will be me being thrown under the bus. He's always been a cheeky little fellow.
No? Yeah.
And you just can you imagine, a cheeky mood today.
Imagine running around Bendigo as an adolescent.
Well, if we all agreed, it would have been rock and roots. How boring would it be if everybody agreed with everybody? No. I clearly don't agree with your opinion, so I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, well, I don't agree with that.
If you always niggle after, it's always, you get, it's you've got to a get little, the last one
you get a little twinkle in your eye and you just want to niggle. And...
Well, did you really think wearing that chicken hat wasn't going to get you after?
Oh, I like it.
Hey, it's been a little while since one of our own have featured in the Nuffy Jar. Of course, our good friend Sam McClure has featured often, Roko. But Richo, you are back. Now, just for those listening, Double J, I don't know who Double J Radio is.
Well, they're Triple J. Double J plays more music, more for my generation.
Oh, okay. So man. Double J, is it a digital station? Hoodoo Gurus and the Danny Warhols will tour Australia together this December. And there's a picture of, is that the Danny Warhols?
No, that's the Hoodoo Gurus. You idiot.
What's wrong with you? Well, I reckon you're an everyday average Australian. You're not.
Well, I don't know the Hoodoo
that's
Gurus.
That's the great
look like.
Hoodoo Gurus.
Why would I know what they look like?
Anyway, but this reeks of him wanting somebody from the Hoodoo Gurus just respond to him going, this is, you're cool, Richo. No. You know who the Hoodoo Guru is. This is all about you.
So Richo has quote
ego
tweeted
you
it.
Have.
Richo has quote tweeted
it's
it. Strong shirt game here from the Gurus. Looking
There's
forward to
There's only one thing
this.
You're wanting from this, and that is Double J, all the Hoodoo Gurus to go, we're with you, Richo.
I think you're right.
That was very similar
you're
to the...
Sick.
I can't lie, mate. I admit I wanted a few of the people
Did anyone get around it?
No, a lot of middle-aged men got around it.
It's very similar to Brownie's Liam Gallagher tweet. All right, Richo Brownie, Hummer Award next. Award time, gentlemen. I hope that we might just be going a little bit outside the sport of AFL, given the golf on the weekend. Let's have a look at the best on. The Bont is just flying at 9. You think he's going to pull away again. Petrakis 7, Sydney Swan 6, Darcy Parrish 5, Jeremy Cameron 5, Dustin Martin 4, Jared Lyons 4. While for the worst, Collingwood on 13, almost an unassailable lead. St Kilda 8, Geelong 6, North Melbourne 6, West Coast 5, Fremantle 5, and Gary Rowan.
Who did Gary Rowan?
Remember, he kinged Lockie Neal.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, I'll go first. One vote. The Giants are going really well, but one player, even without Toby Green, is Tom Green. I love the way he goes about it. 27 disposals last week, kicked 2 goals too. Thought he's one of the most influential players, and they beat the West Coast Eagles. He's a good player.
I'm going to make a call a long way out here. I reckon he'll end up at Richmond in 3 or 4 years, Tom Green.
Ooh, okay.
His grandfather is one of the all-time greats at Richmond, Michael Green, 4-time premiership.
Oh, grandfather-son rule.
He was a Richmond man, Tommy.
Two votes to Tex. He was already on the leaderboard and he's just got two votes.
Well. How good's the winner. He kicking, Nate?
Kicked the winner and just had an impact. Nobody has beaten Stephen May one-on-one this year and Tex did it in big moments, kicked a couple of big goals. So, and 3 votes, they lost the game, Sydney, but 34 years of age, Lance Franklin. I know he wasn't playing on the best opponent or a Stephen May, but he still kicked 6 goals at 34 years of age and to watch him playing is just a gift that we get every week.
How good is it going to be when he kicks that 1,000?
Will he do it this year?
It might be early next year, but he's definitely going to play.
Will the crowd rush the field?
Well, I hope so.
I should.
I hope so. I gave one vote to the Bont. He, as we talked about before, you just not enough words to describe how good he's going at the moment. 2 to Clayton Oliver, although it was a losing game. What about his numbers? 38 disposals, 23 contested possessions, 14 clearances and 3 goals. I don't think you can play any better than that as an individual. Clayton Oliver too. And well said, Phil Mickelson.
Oh, Phil. Votes.
That it is one of, I think I said a tweet. Did I tweet it?
50 years of age. He's one of the
most. It's going to be one of the most. It's one of the greatest stories in golf and will remain one of the greatest stories in golf forever. And the thing is, he could win another one. He was hitting the ball that well.
Reminded me of, remember Tom Watson was leading the British Open in 2009, it was, and he was within one, he bogeyed the 18th. He would have gone into a playoff at the age of 59, but anyway, it didn't happen. But it reminded me of that a little
Before
bit.
Before we get into the worst, I did a little bit of research on some of the greatest other sportsmen who have won at a first-class cricket. Raja Maharaj Singh, 72 years of age, played first-class cricket over in India in 1950.
Spinner he must have been.
Yeah. In an American football, George Blander played for Oakland at 48 years of age back in 1975.
Quarterback.
And then there's a guy in Poland, and his name's Stanislaw Kowalski, and he is a Polish supercentenarian who at the age of 105 became the oldest ever competing athlete and he won gold in sprinting, shot put, and discus.
Wow.
The asterisk on that is, as 105, there was only one group of athletes in the 105 age division. He was the only one. So he's won three on his own. But I gave one vote this week, the umpiring in that Adelaide-Melbourne game. I thought the umpiring, they got it wrong on a couple of occasions, and the keys tackle and the delivery out of bounds.
So therefore, why did the AFL highlight the mistakes and pile on even more?
Well, because they were at the pointy end and they impacted the result of the game, Matthew. It's clear
that you're wrong on that note.
A decision in the last 20 seconds has an impact on the game compared to one 20 seconds before halftime.
We'll have to disagree on this one.
We are disagreeing. Two votes to St Kilda. They were woeful. And three votes, and he's back with a bang.
I know who this is.
Chris-o.
Christo's back.
The Count Christoph.
He's working within a set of parameters that had broken, though, poor old Christoph.
But he has parameters, I would have thought, to use common sense as well.
Righto. I gave one to the Eagles. They just can't win away from home. I mean, this team should be... They've got a few out, but they should be winning games away from home, and they just can't at the moment. I gave two to the AFL for coming out and...
Ooh.
And just off the back of what I said, you don't come out and bag your own umpires. Two to the AFL... And three to Michael Christian.
Chris-o, that's good.
He's got to fix up the parameters that he's working under, though. Because the actual guidelines he was working under...
the parameters would come with, Chris-o, you've played the game. Chris-o, you understand the game. If it's a tackle like the Holman one, and it shouldn't be in these parameters, if it's not in there, you use your common sense and override it. Surely that is in there. I may be wrong, it may be not in there, but it should be in there.
There's no common sense.
How could they not see that this was going to be the reaction? When he went and typed it up, went boom, 2 weeks, file into the system, how did he not think?
He has to judge it by what he's been given to judge it by, and unfortunately that's the system is broken.
Well, Chris-o should be going to the AFL and say, I need to be able to use common sense.
Yeah. The hanging mats are right. All right, we'll have a look at the week's games next. Massive week of footy, and how good's it going to be? Will there be crowds? Will there not be crowds? Time will tell. West Coast, Western Bulldogs versus Melbourne.
What a shame it's going to be if people aren't at Marvel Stadium for this one.
At this stage, we did go into the studio before the press conference. They were saying that they were going to open the roof, which turns Etihad into an outdoor stadium, which means you can have 75%.
Right. What are the planes?
Well, it's just like any other football ground
in
the world.
It's not really, though.
Why not?
It's not made for rain.
Yeah, but
what happens differently
if it's a COVID situation?
Isn't how slippery that joint is, but it's slippery at the best of times.
Who wins, though?
Well, the Dogs, I think, should win because they're playing the better football, but they've had to change their training routine around, so you'd hope that they should be able to get their heads around that this week. For me, I think the Dogs should win. Cracking game. I think Melbourne haven't been playing well, but I think they switch on for this game and come back. I think the Dogs by less than two goals.
Yeah, I'm with the Dogs, and it's obviously the midfield battle. I just think the Dogs have got more options to roll through there. Obviously, Melbourne's starting midfield, Petrarca, Oliver, and Max Gawn is just as good as the Dogs, but the Dogs can roll eight different looks through there, and I just think that'll be the difference. If Melbourne can break even in that area, they might be able to trouble the Dogs' defence, but I think the Dogs...
Teams aren't out yet to stretch the Dogs.
Viney.
And we realise that the Dogs' defensive 50 is probably people perceive weakness, but yeah. hasn't been their weakness.
Well, they don't get exposed because their midfield always wins the contested footy. And put pressure
on, exactly. Yeah. But do you bring Ben Brown in, who didn't kick a goal on the twos, to try and stretch that defence?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Imagine being Ben Brown's height and being not good at footy.
Well, he is good at footy.
Well, he is.
He kicked 60 goals 3 years in a row.
So you could beat Ben
Brown. No, I couldn't beat Ben Brown. I'm just saying, footy at that height, there should be no excuse you're not kicking 50 goals in the top.
Well, he's kicked 60 goals about four times.
He's no good.
But in that theory, every person who's his height should be able to do it, which is clearly wrong.
I agree. If you're that height and you've got some level of coordination, you should be playing either top level basketball.
This is a stupid.
Top level AFL.
A genuine clown.
Can't even go with you on this.
Doggies $1.67 there, Melbourne $2.23. Next game, we're going to have a look at Brisbane, $1.22. Take on the Giants, $4.30.
They're flying, and they could be. I think they're the second best side in it. I even though Melbourne have just lost their first game, I think Brisbane are just behind the Bulldogs as the second best side in the comp.
You've got to give Leon Cameron a bit of credit though, don't you?
Yep.
Or about 6 weeks ago, they were coming. You know, they're starting to circle around Leon.
Collingwood.
Yeah, and they've won 4 out of their last 5, and their only loss was a Daniel Rioli kick, you know, in the last few minutes to
Dusty beat. Inspired.
Dusty inspired. So they're going well, the Giants. They've got a good deep midfield, and they're a good contested team, but this is at the Gabba, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Brisbane.
West Coast $1.23. Take on Essendon, who are being forced to fly out now.
Yep.
They'll be on the plane
now. They'll be on the plane. Yep. They're rushing out before we get they slam the borders shut. $1.23 for West Coast. Essendon with the trouble.
The way the Bombers are going about it.
How good are they going?
I think West Coast will win, but whether the situation and how hard it is to play in West Coast against that crowd overall, some of the younger players. The younger players have been really good, but they've largely played at home apart from maybe the game away to Sydney. So it's always a tough one when they first travel. There'll be a lot of players who haven't travelled over to Perth and played over there. I think it's the hardest trip out of all of them to play there, and it's the loudest ground out of all of them. So that is up against them, but youthful exuberance, I think they can go close. West Coast in a tight one.
It's a fast track, and I'll tell you what, Essendon, they can move the ball well and they can score heavily. I think they've scored 100 points 5 or 6 times this year, which I didn't see coming. I didn't think they'd be able to score like this. So they're exciting to watch, and they've nailed those last couple of drafts with their young players. I think this may be a bridge too far at Optus Stadium, but yeah, I love what Essendon are doing. But the Eagles, but it'll be close. I think it'll be close.
Now, on the back of last week's disappointing hypotheticals,
they were hopeless.
They were hopeless. I've changed them around a little bit. Let's have a listen. They were horrible last week. They were shocking. I went to Reddit, which, as you know, I shouldn't go to Reddit.
Just use your own.
Use my own one.
I like when you go left field. You know, you love trains, planes.
So just as a circuit breaker to get back onto things, I'm going would you rathers this week instead of hypotheticals. All right. Now, we've got 5, but they're quite quick. Okay. A year of happiness for you, or 120 people that you don't know get a month of happiness each?
That I don't know?
Yep.
Well, I'm pretty happy as it is at the moment. I've got two little beautiful girls.
So what would you do?
Pass it around.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Would you rather have a 10-kilo gas bottle dropped on your toe from a height of 2 metres, all right? Or you have to work as a checkout man, for 6 hours a day, 6 days a week at a busy supermarket for 6 months, and you're rewarded with $19,500.
Why 19,500?
So it's just slightly less than the 20 grand you get if you get the gas bottle dropped on you.
Mate, I'm not dropping a 10 kilo. That is agony. That's going to crush your foot. Yeah. You're going to end up in surgery and you're not going to be walking properly for a long time. I'm working at the
6 days a week.
I don't mind just something mundane where you don't have to think and you can just sit down there and meet people.
Really? I don't know. You don't think well
he would hate it. He hates people.
Yeah.
Good hypothetical though, isn't it?
Do you hate people?
No.
Yeah, well, you do.
I like strangers.
He has some,
you don't
people.
Like strangers.
He has some challenges.
It's not that I don't like them.
You like your friends.
I think I'm shy around people I don't know.
You're not
he has
shy.
Some challenges, which
in fact,
prevents
I'd say
him.
You're the opposite of shy.
You're not shy. He just has some challenges which prevent him from
conversing
like a normal person.
I don't communicate well.
So you wouldn't want to have to talk to
Not that I don't want it. I just find it hard.
Right. Would you talk to the people as you're serving them?
No, of course not.
Of course I would.
So what are you saying? You're getting the cast bottle. Okay. You know every single language in the world. That is a great skill to have. Mm. But every time you do, you have a bit of it. You have a stutter, right? Or you can learn any skill in the world, but every time you do, you injure yourself the first time you try it.
No, I like that. I like the language one. It's one of my great regrets in life. I never learned a language yet.
Skill would be pretty
cool. You know, when you go to Europe or, probably Europe because there's so many different languages there, and you go from country to country.
Yeah.
And they can all speak English, the majority of them.
I always feel a piece of shit.
You just feel inferior.
You've learnt my language, and I've made no effort to learn yours.
You feel inferior.
You know, James Brayshaw went to Portugal a couple of years ago, and for 6 months before he went to Portugal, he learned Spanish, and he got there.
No.
They speak Portuguese.
I know a person that went to Brazil, and they had the trip planned for a long time. They did a similar thing and got off the plane and started speaking Spanish.
It's language of love, Spanish, I think, or is it French? Which is the language of love? Oh, it's Italian, the producers. All right, there's six boxes. We've got six boxes in front of you. Four of these boxes have $1 billion in them. Two of them have got shrapnel, which will explode and blow off your head. Would you open one?
No. Yep.
Oh, I would.
So you'd risk your life for $1 billion?
I reckon I could pick it. I reckon the odds are in your favour.
You could pick.
Well, the odds are. Yep. It's not. You don't reckon the odds
so
are.
So it's two thirds in your favour.
Yep.
I'm not taking that 33% chance to lose your life.
Yeah.
He didn't say die.
Money.
The shrapnel blows your head off. You're not going to survive.
I'm tipping from that range. You're not surviving.
All right.
Are you allowed to touch the boxes or feel the energy or the heat? No. Am I allowed to put my hands on it? Because I feel like
He could feel the money, Nate.
I reckon I could feel what's inside.
Would you rather never be able to shout or never be able to whisper again?
I don't need to shout. Oh, actually,
you call. You have to call
in footy. You have to. It's not shouting.
Not being able to whisper would be tough. Like you can't whisper sweet nothings.
I think I'd go the whispering. I don't want to shout because Jesus. There's a lot of times at the moment I feel like shouting.
They need to drop the Lord's name in vain.
Well, we'll beep it out.
So you're losing the whisper?
I don't like shouting. I know we all occasionally do
it. Give me an example of your sweet nothings. You go with the duh. Come on.
When you're watching planes landing.
You're not allowed to whisper either.
Good morning, sweetie. How did you sleep? All right, that will do us. Hey, before I go, I have finally got a horse that I've invested in getting to the track.
Oh,
it is called Fondle. He's raced.
What's it called?
It's called Fondle. I didn't call it. Tomorrow or Thursday. So if you're listening before Thursday, 1 o'clock, race one at Sale, number 11, Fondle. $18 into $4.50.
What's that movie where there's a camera following?
Truman Show.
No, not the Truman Show. I think it was a Matthew McConaughey movie where a camera follows him everywhere and you just watch what he does all day long. Well, come up. I'd love a camera to follow you all day, every day.
The Fondle race one, number 11 tomorrow. Good luck on the punt. Gamble responsibly.